I like you to do that for me. All right, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 says, "This then is how you should pray." How many know you should pray? You should pray. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will, let me know. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's interesting to me as we look at this passage, and everybody can recite this prayer so well. No one has a problem with doing His will on earth today. His will, we all agree, do we not, that His will should be done on earth as it is in heaven, as it is in His throne. That right now, that's how we should be doing His will, right? We haven't problems with that. What about, though, when we start talking about the kingdom coming? We have a problem with the kingdom coming. We don't quite understand that. How can a kingdom come that's not supposed to be here yet? See, what my point is here is that you can't separate the kingdom and His will. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Both of them are being done on earth right now, this moment. Just as His will is being done right now in your life, through your life, right now on the earth, so is His kingdom coming on the earth right now, this moment, on the earth. We don't have a problem with understanding His will being done on earth, but it's the kingdom thing that sometimes flips us out. Now, it was interesting to me as I studied this and looked at this, that the first thing that Father wants to talk to us about and wants us to talk to Him about before we start giving Him our Christmas list and even talking to Him about giving us our daily bread, that He wants to talk about His kingdom and He wants to talk about His will. And He says, now, if you'll do this first before you get into your list and talk about what I want to talk about, you'll have my attention. If we really want Father's attention, if we really want His heart, if we really want Him to hear what we have to say and what we want to talk about, we need to talk to Him about what He wants to talk about. And the first thing that turns Him on is His kingdom and His will. The Lord said, "On earth as it is in heaven." Now, we've seen over the weeks the Bible definition of heaven. Heaven is God's throne. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 34. He says, "Don't swear by heaven or by earth, because heaven is His throne." And then in Acts chapter 7 and verse 49, there Stephen says, he's about to be stoned, and he's talking to the Jews about the temple. And he says, how are you trying to build a rock and a stone temple for God to live in? He says, "Heaven is my throne." So heaven is God's throne. Heaven is where God rules. Heaven is in your heart if God rules your heart. If He rules your attitudes, then there is heaven. And so in your heart, we understand somewhat about heaven. Heaven is not only, it's heavenly places. The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 2, and I showed you that verse a couple of weeks ago. We sit in heavenly places. Places means there's more places for heaven to exist than just out there somewhere. If the Bible is true, you're sitting in heavenly places right now. We've been caught up together and made to sit together, Ephesians 2:6, in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. So, we understand heaven a little bit, as He says, be done on heaven and on earth. Now, also, what about earth? Do we understand? We all understand what earth means, right? Don't we? We understand earth? Well, see, there's seven Hebrew words that the King James Bible translates earth, and there are four Greek words in the New Testament that the King James Bible translates earth. So maybe we don't quite know what earth really means here. What if I told you that it does not mean this globe that we're gravitated to? What if I told you it meant a little something different? So I want to take a moment and show you what this word in the Greek actually means. And so here it is for you in the Greek. It's pronounced gay. It's spelled G-E, but it's pronounced G-H-A-Y as gay. And it means a cultivatable land. It means the earth as we stand. As we stand. It means a country, a land enclosed with fixed boundaries, like a city limits or county limits or a national limits, you know. Fixed boundaries. It means a territory, a region. It means the inhabited earth. That's its broadest expanse. The word does not mean the globe. It's actually that part that is separated from the water. So we're not talking about the globe and this ball of dirt and water that we gravitate to. The earth, my earth, your earth, is where we orbit. It's where my life orbits. It's where you orbit. It's what gravitates to you. It's what you gravitate to. It's your region. It's your workplace. It's your home. It's your church. It's your family. It's your children. That's where God wants His will done. And He wants you bringing His kingdom to. Your will be done. Your kingdom come on my gay. Right now, as it is in your throne. This is what He's saying. So let me show you, probably the best way I can show you this, and this is extremely interesting when you're studying the book of Revelation, by the way. You're studying the book of Revelation. This is usually, I think except for one use, that every time that the word earth is used in the book of Revelation, where all those vials and trumpets and all that stuff's poured out on the earth, this is the word that's used there. So we're not talking about the vials and the trumpets and all that stuff being poured on this whole ball. We're talking about a specific location in the book of Revelation. So here's a use for this, and there's many, many, and you can look it up for yourself. I'm not going to take a lot of time here. But in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 6, this is the first use. And if you're a Bible student, you know the importance of first use. It's the seed use. And out of this use, every other use comes. It's going to go back. It's going to root back into this particular use. So here's the first use, and it's used in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. And it says, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land, the gay of Judah," same word, just this is what is called translator's privilege. They get to put whatever they want to there because they're doing the translating. Right here it was land, and when Jesus said it, they changed it to earth. So we could just as well say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on the land as it is in your throne." This is what the thought is. "Oh, thou Bethlehem in the land or the gay of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor," speaking of Jesus, "that shall rule my people Israel." Let me show you one more. I have it there for you. It's in Matthew chapter 3, verse 5. And there the word is translated region. "Then went out to him," Jerusalem, speaking of John the Baptist, "and all Judea and all the region," the gay, "round about Jordan." Now that's the same Greek word that is translated here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. About your kingdom come and your will being done on earth. So what Jesus is saying here is when we pray this, we're to pray and realize is that when we go out of here, when we go out into our region, when we go out into our gay, to the places that we orbit, we're to bring His kingdom and we're to do His will. We're to do it right here as though you were in heaven, as though you were in His throne. That's the way He wants it accomplished and that's the way He wants it done. It's a region. It's an area. And I can't do a whole lot about the planet. But I can do a lot about the region that I orbit in. If you get around me and you gravitate to me, your life's going to change. You're going to hear about the kingdom. You're going to hear about Jesus. You're going to see somebody living righteously. You're going to see a blessed life, an abundant life. That's right. I can bring the kingdom to your earth. I can. And I've done it. And I'm going to keep on doing it. And you can do the same. You can bring God's will into every place that you orbit. Often, you know, we recite this prayer just as a recital. We don't even think about the words. We're so familiar with it that we can just recite the words so rapidly without thinking of what the words are actually meaning or what we're even saying. And that happens so often when we pray what is called the Lord's Prayer. And it's a sad thing to me because we say this particular part without really meaning that I really want to do your will. We recite it, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," but we really don't mean it. So off the top right now, I need to ask you, do you care what Father's will is? Do you care what His will is for your life? And if you care about what His will is for your life, and believe me, most believers don't. Most Christ followers really don't. If you care about what His will is Can you get it done? See, it's not your kingdom come and your will be known. We know His will. It's written. What we pray is, your kingdom come and your will be done. So though you may know His will you do His will? And so I'm asking you, look at your heart right now. Most of you probably know something about what God will have you do, His will for your specific life. But will you get it done? Will you lay down everything to accomplish His will for your life? Few people sincerely and with deep conviction talk to Father about His will with an attitude of, you tell me what to do and I will do it. Few people really, really care about Father's will to the extent that they sincerely talk to Father regularly about His will. And where are you? Where am I? Is it something that I consistently talk to Him? Because He says every time we pray this prayer, we're supposed to talk to Father about His will. So if I pray every day, and then this would be a part of a conversation I have with Father every day. Now, why should I talk that regularly about Father's will for my life and getting His will done on the earth? Why should I talk that much with Him about, will His will change for me? I'm asking. Does He have multiple wills? If He tells me today what His will it change tomorrow if I talk to Him again about it? Do I need to keep talking to Him to get the latest update? You know, the new program? Well, here's my take on that. God's will doesn't change for my life, and I don't get a new plan every day. But I've learned over years that had He laid His whole will on my life and all the things that I would go through to get His will accomplished, I don't think I would have done it. All the hurt and all the pain and all the heartaches that I've experienced in accomplishing His will, had He given me the big picture all at one time, I'm not sure I would have taken the challenge. I'd have just stayed right there in that little textile plant, making my little money. You see, we can't take the big picture of what He wants you to do at one time. You're not going to get His will at one setting. But you can get what you're supposed to do today or this week. And let me add that on the heels of what I just said. Nothing fulfills your life more. Nothing gives you more fulfillment of your life than looking back and knowing that you've accomplished His will. Amen. Nothing. It is without doubt the greatest thing, the greatest feeling. Even though Jesus endured the cross and suffered that shame, He was exalted high. Amen. And He was given all things. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And it's kind of like that in our lives. We can't take it. He's going to give it to us by brushstrokes. So every time you pray about His will, you get another brushstroke. Every time you talk to Father about His will, you get another piece of the picture. You get another brushstroke of what His will is actually for your life. And then you do that part. And then when you look back over the years, and you see this beautiful picture that has been created because you have been dedicated to finding His will and not only learning it, but doing it. I need to do Father's will in good times and in bad times. Now, it's easy to do Father's will in good times. It's easy. It's easy to just love it and pray. It's easy to pray in good times. It's easy to give in good times. It's easy to serve in good times. The good times are good. But when things aren't good, and you know you're going to the cross in a few hours, and you're going to suffer this horrible death, can you still say, not my will, but your will be done? Can you still pray that prayer? Let me give you some examples from the life of Jesus and that we can take and that we can observe and we can apply. We learn lessons that the accomplishing, the doing, getting His will done on earth is much easier when things are easy and things are going well. Much easier, much more easy than they are when things are not going well. So let me give you a couple here. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus is at the beginning of his ministry and he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. How many see there that doing his will includes work? Okay. In other words, he wants you to do more than pray, or more than give, or he wants you to do something in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says, my food, oh, I eat it up. This was at the beginning of his ministry. This is when things were good. He had just, if you're familiar with chapter 4 of John, he had just converted the woman at the well. Remember that story? He's at the woman at the well, and he's the disciples have gone and gotten some food, and they come back, and they said, do you want something to eat? And he says, no, I'm not hungry, because my food is to do the will of God. And he knows he's just converted this woman, and he's about to convert this whole city. And man, he's excited, and things are going good. And it's easy. You just gobble up his will, man, when things are going good. It's easy to do his will. I remember when I first came to this city. Man, little church, 20 people. And things became phenomenal. I mean, it was phenomenal growth. You know, and within a couple of months, we had doubled or tripled the people. And God was moving, and it was fun. And you know, and it was, things were happening. Man, I was gobbling it up. This is going to be a snap, man. This is going to be easy. But things change. And in the middle of his ministry, we find in John chapter 6, a little later, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, and he has to remind himself, but to do the will of him who sent me. His teachings have been misunderstood. He was being critiqued and criticized. He was being talked about. Now, if you're familiar with John chapter 6, what had happened is Jesus had just fed the 5,000. You know, he took a few fish and a few loaves, and he had fed 5,000 people. There's so much food left over that they took up 12 baskets full. There was just all food everywhere, and everything was, you know, it seemed so good. And he crosses over the lake, and he goes over across the lake, and the people follow him. And he looks at those people, and he says, you're not following me because I am the Son of Man, and that I can give you eternal life. You're following me because you want some more food. You want some more fish and bread. You're not really following me. You're following me for what you can get, not because of who I am. And he began to teach them about the bread from heaven. I am, he says, the bread from heaven. And if you want eternal life, then you've got to eat my flesh and you have to drink my blood. Now, how many know that didn't go over well? That was not a good teaching. They had problems. They said, you want us to be cannibals? And he didn't explain it. He just said, you've got to eat my flesh. And if you'll eat my flesh and you'll drink my blood, then I'll raise you the last day. The last day, I'll raise you. And that's what he says. So, you know what happened? He didn't change his teaching. And you know what the people did? They left. The big crowd, the big church, 5,000 left. Now, a minister does not like days like that. That is not good. And all that's left is his disciples. And they said that those people that left followed him no more. And so Peter says, Lord, that's a hard teaching. You know what he said to Peter? He didn't explain it to Peter. He didn't say, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry I upset him. You know? He looked at Peter and he said, you want to leave too? Now listen. This is a bad hair day for Jesus. I mean, this is not going well. You know, your church is split wide open and even your leadership is questioning you. But he says, you know, I got to remind myself, I didn't come to do my will. I come to do your will. And in tough times, it's no longer able to gobble it up. It's no longer food for you. Things aren't going well. And I've had some times like that. I've had some times doing his will and getting the picture painted and getting another brushstroke where it wasn't fun and people left and your integrity is checked and questioned and people look at you funny and point at you. You got to remind yourself and pray still, you know, Lord, I will do your will. It's important that I do your will. And I have to remind myself. So I have to pray every day. Lord, I'll talk to you about my will. About your will for my life, you know. Yeah, this is a little tough here. So as we see things changing in ministry and in our lives, the will of God becomes more and more difficult. Then I have one more I want to show you about Jesus talking about the will of God. He has come now to the end of his ministry, end of the time, and things were really rough. He's praying. He knows he's about to be killed, hung on a cross, die a horrible death. And this is what he says in Mark 14:36. Abba, Father. Daddy. Everything is possible for you. Please take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. You see, it's not fun to do God's will. And even the Lord himself struggled here. It's not fun, and it's nearly impossible to do his will and even pray about his will and talk to him about his will when things are rough and tough. It's tough to pray his will to be done when you know that in a few hours you're about to be crucified. It's tough knowing that we are in the center of God's will, but things are going badly. It's tough. It's tough, but still we've got to pray. Your will be done. And so what I'm trying to show you is that accomplishing God's will and doing God's will and getting God's will done on earth in your orbit becomes more difficult when life becomes difficult. It's not easy to give when things are difficult. It's not easy to pray when things are difficult. It's not easy to serve when things are difficult, but still we've got to. Because we want the picture. We want the brushstrokes. We want to see what God's will truly is, because it's in the middle of his will that the blessings come and that life is blessed. So, life changes, or the will of God doesn't change, but as life changes, as life circumstance changes, it becomes more and more difficult to accomplish and do his will. Now, in order to do Father's will, we must know what Father's will is concerned with. How is Father's will accomplished? So let's talk about that a few minutes. How do you know if you're in Father's will? How do you know what his will is for you? So I want to give you about five ways to know God's will and know that you're accomplishing God's will. And the first one I want to talk about is to present ourselves. Present ourselves. And you're right there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. And that's the verse that I'm using right here. And all of these will connect back to this particular point. But in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, it's not easy to do that. It's not fun to do that sometimes. When things are going well, it's fun. But when things aren't going well, that's not easy to accomplish. Then in verse 2, he says that if you'll do this, if you'll present your bodies as a living, if you'll present yourselves, and be, you'll know these things and be conformed to this world, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It all begins, finding God's will begins with presenting ourselves. This prayer that we're studying, the Lord's Prayer, with the eight specifics that are in there, the Father, which in his name, with your kingdom and your will, the four that go upward are emphasized on him, you know, and then the four that are towards us, which are displayed on this side for you, your bread. I'm glad I couldn't just recite that. That give us our daily bread. Forgive us. Lead us. Deliver us. See, those four are usward. And the other four are himward, upward. Father, your kingdom, your name, your will. And so as we begin praying this prayer, it's a time where we present ourselves to him. We come, and this is private prayer. This isn't corporate prayer. The prayer that Jesus says, when you do this, go in a closet, go in a room, close the door, get alone with Father. This is private prayer. And we come into him in closet prayer, is what Matthew 6:6 says. And we close that door. We close out the world. And we get alone with Father. And we begin talking to him about his will. And you'll find out in moments like that, and if I know that most of you have experienced these times, you're alone with Father, there's no one around, there's not a church, you don't feel like watching you and seeing how you're lifting your hands or praising or dancing or whatever, and you're just alone with Father, and your heart fills up, and you weep and you cry because you're alone and you're having an experience with the Lord, and you're all alone. And you know you're not doing it for anybody or for any other reason except you're expressing your worship to Father. And it's those moments. It's in those moments that you will learn His will. It's in those private moments. It's in those private times that God will help you and give you brushstrokes concerning His will for you. So the first one is always you got to present yourself. And I'm going to give you four more. But each one of these are in the form of presenting ourselves in this manner to God. Presenting ourselves. Each of these that I'm about to give you. The second one is the written word. The written word. Now the written word is the written will of God. I want to say that again. The written word is the written will of God. He's not going to vary from this. This is how God works. This is His will. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years of history are recorded here to show us that this is how God operates and this is His will. It's the written will. And to discover Father's individual will, you must first know His written will. You must know something about His will and His plan for the whole thing. His overall will. You'll never understand and never know that you're correct in doing His individual will for your life if you're not understanding and have a grasp on His written will. On the big picture of His will. And this is what's so sad is so few believers, so few Christ followers have ever really read this from cover to cover. It breaks my heart. Because you will never know God's will until you know His written will, until you've read His written will. You'll never know for certain if you're activating and following the ways of God unless you know His written will. And so few believers really read His written will. And because of that, they never know their individual will. They never know the individual will for God in their lives. So if I want to know God's will for my life, I've got to present myself in prayer, and I've got to present myself to this Word, and I have got to allow it to minister to me and to get in me so that I can understand it and understand His will. The third way that we know God's will is through prophetic ministries. Prophetic ministries. Now, I personally believe in the gift of prophecy, as individual prophecy. And I personally believe that it is a tremendous help to discover God's will for the individual. Now, this gift of prophecy is given to us, the Bible teaches us, that it's given to us in two different forms. It's going to come across in two different ways. And I want to talk just real briefly about this. This isn't a teaching on gifts, but just to kind of show us some things here. And the first gift of prophecy that I want to point out to you and let you see is recorded for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. Now, here it says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. Those are gifts given by the Holy Spirit. And one of those gifts is prophecy. Now, this particular gift of prophecy, an individual prophecy, it's given for the reason of identifying your gifts, directing your life, helping you understand, get directions and confidence in what you are sent forth to accomplish. I've had many of these. I've got a stack of these. And they all have a common thread leading through there that point me and direct my life as to what I was called and purposed and what I am on gay to do. And you can have these as well. Now, this comes sometimes with the laying on of hands or just as I did just a moment ago and speak out several short little directional prophecies and where God's taken someone or what He's doing in their lives or whatever. That's that gift. And here's what I want to say while I'm on this particular... If you don't have this and you need to record it, you need to get it on tape. If possible, you need to write it down because you can always pull it out. And Paul tells Timothy to wage war with the prophecies that have gone over you. If you don't have prophecies, you don't have anything to really wage war with. So he says, wage the good warfare. Fight the good fight with the prophecies that's gone over you. You need prophecies. And if you don't have these, please let us know. Please let us know. We have sometimes where we just do nothing but that. We just come in here with the intention of helping people discern the will of God for their lives through prophetic ministries and prophecies. So please, please let us know. And then the other one that the Bible talks about, the gift of prophecy, is recorded for us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. Now, these are also gifts from the Spirit, but these are called grace gifts. These are gifts like teaching and these kinds of teaching and giving and love and mercy. And these are gifts of the Spirit as well, but they're not looked at in quite the same light as those in 1 Corinthians 12 are. But here it says for us, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith and to proportion of what he knows. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. And he gives seven gifts in that context, seven different grace gifts. And the one I'm of course looking at right now is prophecy, because this is how we're learning the Lord's will. Now, this isn't a personal prophecy gift here. This is a prophecy gift that comes with preaching, with teaching. Somebody will stand before you or sit with you in your living room or an automobile or something like that, and they begin just to share with you God's Word. And it becomes alive. And it fills your heart with purpose. And it fills your heart with desire. I've been sitting in congregations and hear a man just stand up there and preach, and all of a sudden I get clarity on the direction that my life is supposed to go. He hasn't laid hands on me. He hasn't singled me out. But I know that's God speaking to me through His written Word. Amen. And that's the prophecy gift given here. And this is where I really do pretty well at. You know? I help people understand what God has for them to do simply by sharing God's Word and trying my best to make it come alive to you. The sower goes forth to sow seed. And that seed is alive. When it finds good soil, it's going to bring forth good fruit. And that's what we attempt to do. So you have the gift of prophecy. So you need to present yourself in prayer. You need to present yourself to the written word. You need to present yourself to people who can minister to you to the prophetic gifts of prophecy to find God's will. And then the fourth one is relationship and mentors. Now, the people you run with will take you away from God's will or take you to God's will. They will affect you one way or the other. If you have negative relationships, they will take you away from God's will. If you have mentors and relationships, though, that are seeking diligently God's will, you're going to seek it too. So the mentors and the relationships that we build in life will help us or stop us from finding God's will. Now, the Bible calls this simply discipling. Make disciples of all men and women, teaching them whatsoever things I've commanded you, baptizing them. So this is the deal. And so mentoring and relationships. Sadly, few believers, just as few believers have ever really read the written word of God, sadly, few believers have ever placed themselves under mentorship and allowed someone to speak into their lives. Oh, I've had 100 people come up to me and say, I want you to tell me, brother. Now, if you see something in my life, you tell me and I'll get it fixed. I said, uh-huh. Have you ever tried to tell somebody when there was something in their life that wasn't right? Have you ever tried to do that? How did that work out?
Not too good.
And it just doesn't work that way. You don't go around because somebody says you can and do that. You mentor them. You train them. You spend time with them. And it takes discipling. It takes time. And again, it's not going to happen with one setting. It's not going to happen. It takes time. It happens over years and over years of experiencing these things. Now, if you can't find this person that you really want, or spend time with this particular person that you really want to disciple or mentor you, then get books or teaching tapes. Find someone that is accomplishing what you feel God is calling you to do, and hook up somehow through books or teaching tapes or some way, but find some way, because in those books and in those teaching tapes are secrets, are life experiences, are things that you can take and make applicable to your life. And it's the next best thing to be in there. So, what do we need? We need to present ourselves in prayer. We need to present ourselves to the Word. We need to present ourselves to prophetic ministries. And we need to present ourselves to discipling or to those that can mentor us and help us. And the fifth one is a good church. A good church. We need to be a part of a good church where truth is taught, praise is given, relationships are developed, and our gifts and talents are honed and developed. And if the church you attend, including this one, does not do those, find another church. Find one. If you want to know God's will, the church you attend is a tremendous help. You need to. Let me read that list again. Truth is taught, praise is given, relationships are developed, and gifts and talents are honed and developed. That's what a good church is supposed to do. Now, it's usually within the framework of a good church that your gift will be brought forth and the will of God in your life will be seen very clearly. It's usually in that framework. So, we present ourselves to prayer. We present ourselves to the written Word of God. We present ourselves to prophetic ministries. We present ourselves to relationships and mentors. And we present ourselves in corporate services, teaching times, into a good church where our gifts and talents can be honed and we can praise God and we can find His will for our lives. That's what it's all about. And I promise you this, if you do those five things, you will know God's will for your life. And not only will you know it, but you will be able to accomplish it. You will be equipped to get it done on earth, in your orbit, just like God wants it done in heaven. Now, I want to read this verse one more time in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. This time I'm reading from the NIV because there's a point, the way it says something I want to point out. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. God wants us to worship Him by presenting ourselves in the ways that I've just described to you. Then 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we want to find God's will, our minds have got to change. The mindsets we've got must change. We change our thinking to His thinking. We have the mind of Christ. Be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here's the part that I want. Then you will be able to test and approve. Say test and approve back to me, please. Test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, sometimes, and if you're human, this is probably, and really sought God and really wanted to do God's will, this has probably happened to you. Sometimes you think you have heard Father and you know what His will is, but then down the road you find out that it really wasn't Father and it really wasn't His will because it failed. It flopped. How can we know if we're really hearing God? How can we really know if we're really hearing Father or if it's just not our desires and what we want? How can we know? You see, we are allowed to test and approve. He says, test it and approve it. Just don't think it all of a sudden just because you heard a whisper in your spirit that that was God. Don't believe that just because you feel like you should do something, don't just run off and think that's God. Just because you feel like you have a compassion for people, don't think God's calling you to Africa. Just because you like this person, don't think that's who you're supposed to marry. Listen. Are you with me? I'm saying God's will is for everyday life. He wants your life good. And every little thing, we can know if it's His will. Now, we're allowed to test it and approve it. Now, I want you to look. Those words, test and approve, is one Greek word. And I want you to see this. It's dokimazo. And what it means is to test, examine, prove, scrutinize. Scrutinize. To see whether a thing is genuine or not, as metals. Put it to the test. Put it to the fire. To recognize as genuine after examination. To approve, to deem, to worthy, to be deemed worthy. Now let me say this. We are not testing God's will. We are testing to see if we properly heard God's will. It's not that God's not speaking. It's that a lot of times it gets cluttered in the frequencies that are out there. The principalities and the powers. How many really realize that there is a devil out there that's trying to goof up the frequencies? And he wants you to hear something so screwy. So out of whack that it messes your life up. that it destroys you, wrecks you. But if we can test it and approve it, we can put it to the test, we can scrutinize it, we can put the fire to it, then we can be sure that God really is speaking to us, and that's what God's purpose is. Now, here's how I do it. I run the test, man. I have learned over my years that you better run the test. And here's how I do it. First thing I do is I run it by people that I know love me and really want me to accomplish God's will. In fact, I like to run it by people whose their accomplishing God's will for their lives depends on my accomplishing God's will for my life. That way I know they're going to tell me the truth. I run it by people that love me, that care for me, that I know want me to accomplish God's will. And I run it by them. I say, listen to this. What do you think? You like this? What do you think? Is this God? And they'll tell me, yeah, no. Yeah, but I don't know about that one. but they'll tell you the truth because they love you. And so they want you to accomplish God's will. Now, if it's still a go, and they're saying, yeah, that's God, I believe that's God, then I began activating it. Hear what I'm saying. I'm not buying a plane ticket to Africa. I began activating it. I began putting it to the test even more. I put more fire to it. I test it even farther. I continue in test mode rather than just jumping in all at once. And if doors open, and if seas part, and if manna falls from heaven, and if rocks give water, I know I am dead in the center of the will of God. Because He will always provide a way if it's His will. Now, tell you a story in closing. Early on in my walk with the Lord, I sought Father's will. I mean, I had just come to Jesus, and I went on long fast, and I wanted to do His will so much. I just wasn't playing games with God. I really had a real move of God on my heart, and I knew something had changed in me. I would read His Word. I'd present myself in prayer and to His Word. I let people mentor me. I got prophecies. I read books. I'd listen to tapes. I'd drive or fly long distances just to hear somebody teach. I wanted to know God's will. And I felt early on that I was to lead a church one day. The problem was that it was not going to be a regular church. It was not going to be a denominational, traditional church. But all I knew, the problem was, that's all I knew. I didn't know anything. They didn't have these things around then, you know. And so I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what it was. I just knew that it was going to be different, like Acts 2. It was going to be something that was relevant. It was going to be something that was loving. It was going to be something that was real. And if it wasn't going to be that, then I just wasn't going to do it. And I felt like that's what it was. But it sounded like every time that I talked about it or shared the thoughts with people, and I didn't know how to, and that's one thing about when you really learn God's will is you really can't express it because it's so strange sometimes. But when I would talk about it, it seems like I was so rebellious or unappreciative. And I wasn't. I wasn't rebellious and I wasn't unappreciative. It's just that every time I got in Father's presence, I had this thing inside of me. You know, I want this. I want a church like this, that means something. So I did. I began testing it. And what we did in the denomination that I was in at the time is we sent out resumes. And so I filled out my resumes and I took my classes and I did all my stuff that I was, that's all I knew. And so I sent out resumes. And I wasn't pursuing, I wasn't making phone calls, I wasn't looking for meetings or anything. Well, the phone began ringing and churches began asking me to come and share. And then some of those churches actually asked me to come and pastor. I never felt clear on that. I never felt a peace about that until I came to this city, until I came here. And which is strange because it was the smallest city and it was the smallest church. And Judy was so sure that I was not going to stay here that she didn't even think about it. And after the day was over and I felt God speaking to my heart, I tested some more. And if you were there, then you know I kept testing. They said, will you come and pastor? Will you come be our pastor? And I said, no, let's check things out. Let's see if we get along good. It's like a marriage, you know, let's see how we work together. Let me come, share, talk, teach, see if you guys want what I've got. And at the same time, I'm going to be checking you guys out. And let's see how this thing pans out. We began checking it out. And I felt good. And we knew, we all knew, that's what we were supposed to do. And so we began this. And, you know, since that time, you're talking about Father opening seas. I mean, sometimes it seemed like we had come to the end of our rope, and that was it. We could go no further, and the Red Sea would open, and God would make a way. It seemed like there would be no more provisions. There would be no money. There would be nothing to accomplish, and manna would come from heaven. That there was going to be no substance. You know, it was barren and dry, but the water would come out of a rock. And all of a sudden, God began to do things. And I've had so many Red Sea experiences. Year after year, I can't even remember all of them. But so often and so many times, because when you're in God's will, the provisions come. And that's true for your life, just as true as it is for my life. When we find God's will and we do God's will, Father is so pleased. And He makes a way when there is no way. Have I made mistakes? Let's ask. Have I made some mistakes?
Yeah.
Duh. Only about a million, you know, just a few. But a lot of that was in my zeal to do for God and not test His will. I've learned. I don't make as many mistakes now as I used to make because I've learned to test and approve God's will. And let me say this on the heels of that. And I said it earlier, I'm going to say it one more time. Nothing I have ever done in my entire life has given me the fulfillment of doing God's will. Nothing fills my heart and fills my life like doing God's will. I have had a wonderful life. If it were to end right now, there would be no complaints by this old boy. And I believe that my life has been so good simply because I really sought Him. God, show me Your will. I desperately want You. You are the air I breathe. You are bread for me. And I want to know what it is. I am in my gi, in my orbit. What am I here to do? So I need to ask you in closing. Where are you? What is Father's will for your life? Could you tell me? And if you could tell me, how will you get it done? Do you want to get it done? Do you want to go through the motions? Or do you really want to make a difference? Do you want to bring His kingdom to your orbit? Do you really want His will to be accomplished in your orbit? Are we just going through religious motions on Sunday? What is it God's called you to do? What is it you're here in your gi, in your earth, in your orbit, in your region to accomplish? What ministry will the Lord have you to do? And there will be some work. Fulfilling His will is always including work. But there is a will that Father has for your life, every individual life. And you can know the good, the acceptable. You can know His perfect will. So let's read this passage one more time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. And Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Will you pray that? Will you mean it? Amen. We're going to minister to some people, but before I do, see Casey's back with us. I just want to give him that word that I was sharing earlier. Casey, I was praying this morning, and five people came to my mind that I just needed to minister to and just speak a word of the Lord to. The Lord says you are entering one of the most favorite times of the year for you. You look forward to this time of the year. And, you know, I relate. You know, I look forward to this time of the year, too. But mine's still fishing. You know, I love to fish. And you know, I look forward to this. It's a relaxing time for me, and it's a great time for me. And it's similar. That's what I'm kind of talking about. And you look so forward to this time of the year. And you have for years and years. But over the last few years, it's not been fun. It's kind of been depressing. It's been stressful. And it's stressed you out. There hasn't been a lot of joy. But the Lord says this. This year will be better. And here's why. Because you are learning to chill. That was the word I got. I said, Father, you're cool. That's just cool. You know, you're learning to chill. You're learning to allow time to pass and people to be people. You are changing for the good. And the Lord says for you to enjoy your passion. And the emphasis is to enjoy. Give yourself to it and enjoy it. It's a special time for you. You release you clear your mind. You, I understand. I do it too. And that's, the Lord says, man, use this time and chill. Amen. Let's pray for some people. I want you to come down. I don't care what your need is. Maybe you need the Lord's will. If there's enough of you that desire it, we will have a special time where we get together and just specifically set a chair down, let people come in with the prophetic gifts and try to give some directions for your life. If you want that. But right now we want to pray for whatever that you need. Maybe it's something along the lines that we've talked about today, or maybe you're sick in your body and you just want prayer. Maybe you're confused. Maybe home, relationships, finances, family, anything is bothering you. We want you to come down. We're going to pray for you. We want God to bless you. And as soon as we're done with this, then we're going to baptize. And so if you want to be baptized, when you see me, come back out and get in that pool. You guys just get your stuff. And if you need to change clothes, go do it right now. And come on up and join me in the pools of baptism. And we'll raise you up in Jesus. Father, we take this moment now and we minister to people. Lord, your will is so precious. Lord, I pray today that something's been said, someone's been encouraged. That along the ways, Lord, that we'll find the brushstroke that we need today. That we'll get the piece of the picture. The color, the shade, the shadow that we need today. And so, Lord, I ask you now to touch each heart and let us accomplish your will. And may your kingdom come. And may your will be done in every person's game. Every person's earth, every person's orbit, may it be done. And allow us to bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.